How are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
How are you?
Good.
Yeah, better?
The Economic Development, Environment, and Agricultural Division will come to order for January 16th. Welcome, everybody. I'm David Tomasoni. I'm State Senator from Chisholm. My district is Senate District 6, and it takes in about half of Itasca County and about half of St. Louis County, for those of you who don't know me. For the members, I've put a little bit of little packet in front of you that you can all refer to. These are taconite pellets, and don't try to chew them, okay? And don't try to suck on them. It gives you a little description of what we do on the Iron Range, our main industry, which is the taconite industry, and it shows how it goes from ore to concentrate to nuggets. If you need more, we make about 39 million tons a year, so we have a few more if you need some more to show to anybody else. But it's a little bit of an educating thing here. And at some point in time, we may even have to take a tour up there to go through one of the mines. They're actually pretty impressive to see the magnitude of the equipment and to see what people do. And if I can arrange a blast, that might be really a lot of fun. But anyway, I'm not going to do a real lot of what I'm planning to do this year or anything like that. The division that we are sitting in has 23 different state agencies and 23 different pots of money, and so as far as general fund money goes, it's not a big amount. It's probably in about the $500 million area, and it's only about, I think, 1.3% of the general fund budget. But there's a real lot of money coming in from all different kinds of accounts and different kinds of agencies and fees and all different types of things. So I think what I just want to do for today is to have everybody introduce themselves. Some of these areas I'm actually new to as far as a committee member is concerned. I've never served on ag or on environment before. I was chair of economic development from 2007 to 2010. And so some of this stuff is going to be new for me also. And so our goal today is just to give a little bit of an overview of the committee and what our jurisdiction is going to be and what some of the challenges might be. And so let's just start out by introducing ourselves and let everybody know who's on the committee. And maybe we can start with Senator Webb.
Bill Weber, and I am from Minnesota, and I represent all or parts of 9 counties in the southwest corner of the state. My district shares about 130 some miles with both South Dakota and Iowa. So, and of course,
agriculture
and it's a very big deal down in our area, as well as continuing to try economic development and job growth.
Married with children?
Married with children, my wife Barb, and she runs a clothing alteration business. Our daughter is an attorney in Woodbury. Our son is a buyer from Super Valley Foods, lives in Keegan. And besides running the campaign, they both got married last year.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice. All right, good.
Wow.
Thank
busy
you. Senator Schmidt.
How do you do that?
Well, I'm Matt Schmidt. I'm from Red Wing. I represent all the parts of 4 counties in southeastern Minnesota, Goodhue, Dodge, Wabasha, and Winona counties. And not married, no children. And just looking forward to getting to know everybody on the committee here and engaging these issues. So thank you.
Hi, my name is Carrie Dietzick. I represent Senate District 60, which is not 4 counties, and it is way less than 1 county. I represent 4 communities, actually about 18 communities in northeast, southeast, Minneapolis, parts of Cedar Riverside, and parts of Seward. So I am not married, no children. And I was on environment last year and actually jobs and economic development, so I'm excited to be back.
And just, you know, that's the difference between us rural people and these city slickers. You know, they can door knock their district in about 3 hours.
I can walk it in 5. Less than 5.
That's by parking your car.
Yes. Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Dan Sparks from southern Minnesota, Austin. I represent Maurer County, Freeborn County, portions of Faribault County, Steele County, and Dodge County. And, Mr. Chairman, it's certainly a pleasure to be back on this committee. I had the honor of serving as your vice chair when you chaired the Economic Budget Division, and I look forward to working with all the members on this committee.
And he probably would be my vice chair again, except he's got his own chairmanship, so seniority does. Senator Saxog.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tom Saxog from up north, Senate District 5, the Grand Rapids area, the Bemidji area. In between that is the Leech Lake Indian Reservation, the Chippewa National Forest. In the east, we have mining, and throughout the whole district, forest products industry and tourism are pretty important.
Senator Skoy.
Rod Skoy, I represent Senate District 2. Senate District 2 includes Lake of the Woods, Red Lakes, Lake Itasca State Park, Beltrami Island State Forest, all the lake country around Park Rapids, Becker County lake country around Detroit Lakes. We got lots of lakes and trees and dotted with small farms. And on the west side, we get close to the Red River Valley in Mahnomen County and parts of Becker County. So, lots of the area in the north central part. I've married and got two adult children. Anything else you want to know, Mr.
Yeah,
Chairman?
How long from one end of the district to the other? How many miles?
You know, I haven't figured out the miles, but I did drive to Bedette from my home, and it takes about an hour and a half, and I'm over halfway north in the district, so it's probably a 3.5-hour trip from the north end of my district to the south end of my district. It's a pretty long swath of north central Minnesota.
It's 200 miles at least.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, at least 200 miles, yeah. And, lots of little town. Largest community is Park Rapids, 3,200 people. Lots of little towns and lots of farms.
It's like a metropolis is concerned compared to you.
Well, you know, Mr. Chair, if the Republican redistricting plan had occurred, you would have been really close to my area.
I would have had all that stuff. Senator Herr.
I'm Senator Fong Herr, and I'm from District 67. I'm also vice chair. Take great honor to be a vice chair of this committee. And I'm across the Highway 35, you know, where Eastside, I chose to live there because of the great scenic of Phelan Lake. I live about a block south of Lake Phelan, and so I encourage those of you, everybody in this room, when you happen that Eastside is a great place for ethnic food, so do come by. You know, there's Hmong food, you know, Italian food, Hispanic food, and even Somali food over there too. So, and if you need help, I can guide you.
Thank you. Well, don't they have some kind of big hockey tournament on Lake Phelan, or did they used to do that, or is not this year? Maybe I'm mixing my lakes up down here. Huh?
I think they used to do there because you know, I think. The Olympic player, you know, winner of the in 80s, they all grew up in the east side.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
Carlin.
Hello, my name is Carlin Doyle Fontaine. I'm Senate counsel to the committee.
Is that all you want to tell us?
This is my sixth session. Still pretty junior here. And I live in Highland Park. I have a son and a husband, and that's about it.
Greg Knapp, Senate analyst. My specialties are in agriculture and environment and natural resources. This will be my 30th session, and I have three adult grown daughters.
30th session? You've been here 60 years?
30th
year.
Year.
Okay.
Well, if you count those biennial sessions, it'd be 15.
Okay.
Greg. Greg Janicich, Senate
Mr. Chairman, members, I'm Dave Jensen. I focus kind of on the economic development projects. I've been in the Senate for about 25 years working with this committee.
Mr. Chairman and members, my name is Laura Bach. I've been with Senator Tomasoni since 2000. Prior to that, I worked for Senator Roger Moe when he was Majority Leader. And prior to that, I came from the House, and I worked for Representative Vanosik, who is the Speaker. And I'm married, and I have children and stepchildren and grandchildren.
And Laura wants you to know that I put out some committee procedures here, and I got this idea from Senator Dibble. And one of my favorite movies is Pirates of the Caribbean, and they always talk about the Pirate Code, and it's only a guideline. So this is kind of a guideline. I just want you to know it's kind of a guideline. But one of the guidelines that is very, very firm is that unless you place your saved material in the saved folder, it's going to get thrown away. So if you want something to stay in the folder, stick it in the saved material line. And some of this other stuff we will try to do, like the 24-hour advance notice stuff is kind of good, and the 45 copies stuff are things that just make it easier for the staff to get things done if we possibly can. I understand how we all are, and so I know that some of the stuff we're not going to be able to adhere to, but if any time you have some kind of advance notice and you know what you're actually up to and you have people coming in from your district and you know who they are and who are going to testify, or they have some kind of handouts, it would be really nice if you could get it to the staff in advance of the meeting a day or so. So that's why we have these suggestions here. So, Scott.
Hi, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is Scott Sandy. I'm returning to the Senate staff after a seven-year absence, back when Senator Schmidt was in Senate staff as well. I served as a CA for a number of different committees, Public Utilities and Energy Committee, Education Funding Division two different times, the Tax Committee, Finance Committee, and in the Majority Leader's Office. I have a wife and two kids. One is a senior in high school, and the other one is 8 years old. Second grade.
Mr. Chairman, members, my name is Dan Mueller. I'm the fiscal analyst. I work most in the environment, ag areas, and on commerce issues. My 17th session, I think, mostly working with environment and ag areas the last 7 or 8 years, and before that I worked on the education committee. I have two kids, a little boy and a little girl, and that's it.
Senator Westrom.
Mr. Chair, my 17th session as well, so we're either the same age or on the same path. I served in the House for 16 years before this year being first elected. My district is 8 counties, so Representative Weber, I don't know how many counties you got, but I've got North and South Dakota on the edge of my border, and my district's basically exact west central Minnesota, just about to St. Cloud on the east end. So not quite as big as Representative Skoy's north and south, but it's 4,800 square miles. So
what's your biggest city?
Morris at 5,000.
5,000, okay.
So 73 cities in my district. That does count the state's smallest town of Tenney with a population of 4. And so, and I'm not sure they weren't home when I door knocked.
Maybe they were hiding inside the house, you know.
But there was an elevator up there.
There's going.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, I do need to correct you. Tenney is not an incorporated city any longer.
You're actually right. It did unincorporate. So. Yeah, but it still has town signs. So.
And it still has 4 people, we think. Senator
Ingerman. Married with 3 children, Mr. Chair, twin daughters, so we have a busy household.
Good to have you. Senator Ingebretson,
thank you, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Skoy, you leave the room, and he's already trying to do something.
It's good that you came back in.
I neighbor with, had the honor of neighboring with Senator, the new Senator Westrom, who used to be the representative on my west side. My district changed a lot. This is my 7th year. My district basically was all taken away from me other than 8 townships, and then I acquired Otter Tail County, except for 3 townships you failed to mention in your introduction, Senator Skoy. That has actually distinct, not I guess you wouldn't say pleasure, but the distinct fact that we have over 1,049 lakes in Otter Tail County. And coming from Douglas County, it was a tremendous fit for me as far as geographically. I'm married with 2 children, 6 beautiful grandchildren. I've been involved in the Environment Committee since I came here in 2007, as well as the first 4 years on the Ag Policy Committee. So really looking forward to the session.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Scott Dibble, State Senator, District 61, which is southwest and south, and a little bit of downtown Minneapolis. I'm going into my 4th session fourth term in the Senate after having served 1 term in the House. Actually, Senator Rood and I were freshman colleagues. back in the day in the House. I've served on this committee previously, although I haven't been on for a few years, but I was the vice chair when Senator Sams was the chair, predecessor to Senator Ingebrigtsen.
And so then, you were here when it was Frogs, Hogs, and Jobs then?
Yeah, Frogs, Hogs, and Jobs. I represent a lot of lakes, too. I have Brownie Lake, Cedar Lake, Lake of the Isles, Lake Calhoun, Lake Harriet, Diamond Lake, and a couple of ponds, and Minnehaha Creek as well. So, a lot of trees. Urban canopy is pretty important to us. And those lakes represent what would be the metropolitan equivalent of state parks. Those are regional parks that have more visitors than Disneyland and the Mall of America per year combined. So a lot of use of the facilities in my district.
Senator Nsengem and I were talking the other day in the Transportation Committee that we were both going to get on bicycles and come and ride around your district with you when you're
Oh, I'd like to see that.
that would be worth a picture or two.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe send a photographer out.
He actually had a picture of a bicycle. I don't know if it was his or not.
Maybe a bicycle bill for two of them.
One of those pump bicycles.
I'm a cross-country skier.
The chair is officially losing control.
I can put my cross-country skis on my shoulder, walk about less than a block, and be on my skis skiing around the lakes.
Really?
I live in the uptown neighborhood.
Good. Thank you. Senator Root.
Thank you. I'm Carrie Rood. I represent the new Senate District 10. That's all of Crow Wing County and all of Aiken County. So I have a great big diverse area up there. We have a great college. We have mining. We have forestry. We have lakes. We have robust manufacturing. We have tourism. And I can actually walk out my door and ski. I just... It's a great district, and it's a great place to live, and so I look forward to sitting on this committee. I am married. We have 18 grandchildren, and we're waiting on the number 4 great-grandchild any day now, so we're pretty excited about that.
You don't look that old.
It's the cold. And I did notice, Mr. Chairman, that you said this was a guideline. So does that mean the chair then is not always right?
Yeah. It's a guideline. I just want to refer to number 2. Senator Scalzi.
Yes, I'm Bev Scalzi, and I represent District 42, which is a newly created district. It was an open seat. It was a great opportunity for me. I served in the House for 4 terms before coming to the Senate, so I'm brand new here this year. I represent 7 suburban cities in northern Ramsey County, anywhere from 7 to 10 miles directly north of here. I'm not a city slicker, I don't think. These are all suburban cities. I like that term. And I do have a few farms in my district and 25 lakes. But in my district, the lakes are losing water, so that's a huge issue for my district this year. White Bear Lake is close to my district in Turtle Lake. I grew up, though, in Senator Scoy's district, and we share the same background. My family was in logging and farming. We didn't have any mines. We were west of, I grew up in Burette, so we were west of the mining area, so we were just poor farmers where I grew up. And I'm married with 2 grown children and 5 granddaughters, 2 in Florida and 3 here. And my husband and I own and operate a heating and air conditioning company. So I'm there at work every morning at 8 o'clock. I come here to the Capitol at 10. And so I'm interested in economic development as well.
Thank you. Senator Osmick, I guess, is sick today, and so he's not here. And Senator Sackler?
We know that Senator Scalzi is actually from where she says she is because she can pronounce Badette right.
Right.
And there's no real good way to get there, is there?
No, just straight.
Just keep going. Mr. Chairman, I didn't say anything about my family, but my son's band's going to be on Conan O'Brien tonight at 10 o'clock.
Nice.
And it's their 10-year anniversary, right?
It's their 10-year anniversary.
10-year anniversary.
Name of the band?
Tell them
Trampled
the name.
By Turtles. Yeah.
Trampled by Turtles. Okay, and our page?
Mr. Chair members, Amy Knott, Paige, she'll be working with Scott and Laura. Anything you need, just say one minute, we sit right here.
Okay. All right, anybody else want to tell us about their family or anything, or bands? Or? Okay, well, like I mentioned, we have 23 23 agencies in this committee and at least 23 different funds. And so I thought it would be appropriate today to have our fiscal staff to go through overview of what we're dealing with. And why don't you guys go down there so we can look at you, actually, because otherwise I'm going to be going like this all the time. Just have them give us an idea of where the money comes from, where the money goes, and what the funds are that are involved. And I encourage you to ask questions if you don't know what they're talking about or you want a clarification on something, because this is a big committee budget, and keeping all the building blocks in place is going to be a difficult thing to do here. So let's just make sure that everybody knows what's going on, and they can tell you what the columns are and what the squares mean and what the funds are. And if you don't understand something, please raise your hand and we'll ask them some questions. So I don't know if we have people from the agencies here that can clarify anything that our fiscal people might not know. If we can't, we have a couple of crack staff over here that probably know everything. So we'll try and figure something out. If we don't have the answers to things that we need to get from agencies, we'll bring them in at a different date, or we'll have them contact you and let you know what the answer to your question is. So who wants to go first? Mr. Mueller, you want to start out, or Mr. Jensen, who wants to go?
Mr. Chairman, I'll start out here. Again, my name is Dan Mueller. I'm the fiscal analyst, and I'll be going through the environment, commerce, and ag areas of this overview. It's a six-page overview. The first five pages, are biennial summaries of total spending by agency, by fund. And then the last page is sort of a general fund history of all the agencies in the committee. I think actually the way we'll start off, again, the chairman mentioned there are 23 agencies in this budget committee that are funded, where funding goes through, and there are 23 different funds. And on page 5 of the handout actually is the total spending of all the agencies in the division, in the funding division, by fund. So you'll see in the current biennium that we're in, fiscal year 2012 and 2013, all the spending for the agencies in this budget division is about $4.18 million. That includes all funds.
Is that federal million or billion?
Billion.
Billion. Okay.
And then if you looking ahead at the budget we're looking at for the next 2 years, fiscal year 14 and 15, the base budget for all these agencies is about $3.4 million.
Billion.
Billion, yes, excuse me. Billions, millions, it runs together. And the general fund is about 14%. There's only about 14% or so of the funding, of all the funding that goes through this committee, or a little bit over half a billion dollars.
One point four percent
of the total general fund of the whole state, but of the funding within this division, about 14% of it comes from the general fund. The rest of it, about 1.4% of the total general fund spending of the state.
Okay.
Is the agencies in this area. I'm going to go through on this page 5 quickly the different funds that fund the agencies. And then we'll jump back to the agencies starting on page 1. Starting on line 169, of course, the general fund funds a little bit over $500 million per biennium in this area. And that's the fund that most people concentrate on in the state. It comes from the state income, sales, and corporate taxes, and from some other sources. It's the fund that we have to balance every 2 years and such. So, but like I said, it's only about $500 million in this committee, and 1.4 of the total state budget. The next fund is the environmental fund. This is primarily for the Pollution Control Agency. It's their main funding source. It's mostly funded through permitting fees and the solid waste tax. The other fund is the remediation fund. Again, this is mostly a fund that goes through the PCA. Some other agencies, such as Department of Ag and DNR, also use this fund, the remediation fund. It is money that's collected through recovery of site cleanup costs. They also get money from the environmental fund, and also some federal money goes through there. The next two funds on line 172 and 173 are two funds primarily that fund the Department of Natural Resources. The Natural Resources Fund, which consists of park fees, trail fees, snowmobile stickers, boat fees, et cetera, and much of the forestry costs flow through that fund. The next line, 173, is the Game and Fish Fund. Again, that is funded primarily through the hunting and fishing licenses and the different stamps and things that are sold. And there's also a fair amount of federal revenue that goes into the Game and Fish Fund. The next line, 174, is the Agricultural Fund. This is the fund that primarily funds the Department of Ag through the fees that they collect for various services. The next two funds are in Mr. Jensen's area, so I'll let him explain those. Line 174, the workforce funds.
Mr. Chairman, members, the Workforce Development Fund is actually the Workforce Enhancement Fund. It's a percentage that's collected off the unemployment insurance process. And there's, as you can see, there's about $40 million a year that goes into DEED, and it's used almost exclusively for training programs.
And then 176, line 176.
Workers' Compensation Special Fund.
Mr. Chairman, Workers' Compensation Special Fund is in Labor and Industry Department, and it helps to pay for injured workers, support of the injured worker program.
Mr. Chairman, line 177, the Permanent School Fund, the small amount of money you see here is the little bit of money that the Department of Natural Resources use out of the Permanent School Fund for some of their operational costs of administering the permanent school lands. There's actually a whole larger permanent school endowment fund that is established by the Constitution where all the money from the permanent school lands goes into, and then the interest earned off that corpus goes directly to school districts. It's over $24 million a year about right now that goes to school districts from the permanent school fund. But there's a small amount of money that goes directly to the DNR to help administer the lands. So that's what's listed here, but that's not the exhaustive part of the fund, which actually goes to education. Line 178, the Special Revenue Fund. Now, this is a fund for the state that's used across all different agencies. It sort of serves a dual purpose. One, as it's a special fund where a lot of little special dedicated fees go into, and that is used by agencies. And also, the fund is used for interagency costs and indirect costs by the agencies, mostly charge off all their costs through that fund. So it's a fund that's used across the state, and it gets the special title of Special Revenue Fund. The line 179, again, is another, this one's called the State Government Special Revenue Fund. And this, again, is another fund that is used by agencies where they collect a specific fee for a specific service and then turn around and use that fee for a specific cost. It's used in a few agencies in this area, but otherwise it's used a lot by, boards, boards and other agencies that have very specific fees tied to their costs. The gift fund is a fund where the state, on line 180, where the state collects money as gifts to the state, but it keeps track of them in a separate fund. There's a few agencies that get a fair amount of money through the gift fund. Minnesota Zoo is one. The Department of Natural Resources gets some money through the gift fund. The Petroleum Tank Release Cleanup Fund, this is money that is collected at the wholesale level on petroleum products, mostly gasoline, and it is used to fund cleanup costs. The line 182,
Mr. Chairman, you're well aware of tax on those pellets that you handed out to the members, and that's the production tax that's collected. And that's used on the Iron Range. I'll have a little more detail when we get to that agency for you.
You don't have to have any detail. Well, they don't need it.
Mr. Chairman, on line 183, I sense you want me to skip over that. But that's money to manage some of the facilities that the IRRRB board owns in northeastern Minnesota. An economic protection fund, again, is coming from the production tax, and that helps business development and training program on the range.
Mr. Chairman, on to basically lines 185 through 189 are constitutional dedicated funds. Line 185, the Environment Natural Resources Trust Fund, that's the fund that is established from the lottery proceeds. And that money flows, or we use recommendations from the LCCMR, the Legislative Commission on Citizens and Natural Resources. So they give us recommendations in legislative form and then for appropriating the money. And the way that works is there's a large trust fund, and 5.5% of the fund, of what's available in the fund, it can be used for appropriation each year. And actually, if you look down to line 207, it'll show you about how much is available for appropriating for this coming biennium. It's about $67.6 million is available for appropriating this coming biennium. And usually the way the LCCMR works is they'll give us a proposal for the first year of the funding, and then we'll come back and do a second year. They've had other years where they've done 2 years of funding, but they're back to doing mostly 1 year of funding per year. The next three lines are all funds, or four lines are all funds that were established by passage of the constitutional amendment adding 3/8% to the sales tax. It is the Parks and Trails Fund, the Outdoor Heritage Fund, the Clean Water Fund, and the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, the way it's going to work, at least at this, in the Senate this year, is Senator Cohen, the Finance Committee, has a separate subcommittee that is going to be putting the actual bills together that will appropriate this money. However, the separate proposals on these funds will come down to the funding division that has those agencies. So our committee will likely be hearing a lot of the bills and proposals, and we'll make recommendations to the subcommittee in finance about how to allocate these amounts. And you can see that down the lines 200 through 204, the amounts that are available of revenue coming into those funds, those dedicated funds, from the additional sales tax for the coming biennium. The Outdoor Heritage Fund has about $191 million. The Clean Water Fund, the same amount, $191 million. The Parks and Trails Fund, about $82 million. And the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, about $114 million available. And again, the way these funds have worked in the past is that it's zero-based. Every 2 years, we figure out, again, how to allocate the amount. So the agencies don't build this into their budgets, or they shouldn't be building it into their budgets about how to spend this, about how to use this money every 2 years. So that's why you see zeros on the 14 and 15 column for those lines. Line 190 is the Minnesota Future Resources Fund. This is a basically fund that is due to, it isn't used anymore. It used to collect from cigarette taxes, and the LCCMR used to use some of this fund. There's a little bit of money left over in it that from a couple outstanding projects, but that's probably a fund we can close up here sometime soon.
Mr. Chairman, line 191 is money that comes from loan repayments. Housing finance makes loans for redevelopment and fixing up your house. They have a lot of loans. And also in there is the Section 8 federal money that's paid comes to the state and they process that out. Probably about 400 million or so of that 480 is Section 8. It seems like a lot of money, but the average income of a person getting a subsidy is $10,500 a year. So it really goes to the lowest income people.
Mr. Chairman, the last line there are federal funds. Now, again, this isn't all the federal funds. There are some of these separate funds that have, as Mr. Jensen just mentioned, some of these other funds that have other federal dollars built into them, but this is the line that each agency, as we go through the agencies, show that they receive a certain amount of federal dollars. There's essentially two big areas in this budget. It's with Department of Commerce has the low-income heating assistance program, and that's, I think, roughly $400 million for the biennium, $400 to $500 million for the biennium. So that makes up a large portion of it, and I think in the Department of Economic Development, there's also a large amount of federal money that comes through there. So essentially about $1 billion for the biennium of money comes from the federal government that goes through the agencies in this area.
Mr. Chairman, there's a section there on bonding authority. The Public Facilities Authority has in statute $2 billion worth of authority. About a half a billion is for credit enhancement to help municipalities refinance their debt. And another $1.5 billion is for the projects themselves, water and sewer, kind of a project that PFA approves. Housing Finance has $5 billion of authority for revenue bonds to make out loans for redevelopment, development projects, and to help people rehab their houses. They have about, I think it's around $3 billion outstanding in projects. And both of those are revenue bonds.
And that's an annual or biannual amount that they can use, or do they have a maximum that they can get to?
It's a maximum available. It's not tied to 1 year.
And that's the that's the housing. How about the PFA?
That's the same way. They may come back and ask for more authority if the demand is there.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a point of interest, if we could go back and have Mr. Mueller look at line number 170. We talked about that earlier. Not included in your description there is the fines from the MPCA. Do those fines go back in directly into this account, or do they go into the general fund?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingebrigtsen, yes. Those fines that are collected for the most part by the PCA, Pollution Control Agencies, do go back into the environmental fund.
Mr. Chair, and follow up, do you have an idea how much that was over the biennium?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingebrigtsen, I'll have to look. I'm not going to guess right. Okay. No, I'll get that back to you. I'm sure.
But it's not a part of the $130 million that you got there?
Mr. Chairman, it is part of the revenue that helps fund that fund. So, yes, some of the expenditures that come out of that fund are funded from fines. So the fines collected by PCA do help fund that, the environmental fund, which in turn helps fund the agency.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, line 198, that money comes from the state bonding fund, and it's in the Rural Development Authority under Agriculture Department. And it's for, like, loans to beginning farmers or improving facilities on the farm. And they pay the loans back, and that services the debt service cost on the money that's approved.
Mr. Chairman,
those three categories are all revenue bonds, right?
Mr. Chairman, the Rural Development Authority would be a general obligation bond, but paid back by the revenue from the farmers, basically.
Okay. Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Chairman and members, we'll jump back to the beginning of this handout back on page one, and now we'll go agency by agency. Quickly describe what the agency does and what their total spending is and what their budget is for the next 2 years. Again, the base budget numbers This by no means will be the final base spreadsheet that we see. A lot of these numbers are estimates, and we're still working with the Department of Management and budget of establishing what the base budget is, the final base budget is for most of these agencies, and we'll get those final numbers probably closer to when the governor's budget comes out. But these should be pretty close to what the base budgets are. I took these numbers from fund statements that were from back this summer. We have a new budget system that all of us fiscal analysts are still adapting to, and the Department of Management and Budget. So it's taking a little bit more time this year to put some of the budget numbers together, but these should be pretty good estimates of where we're at with most of the agencies. I've broken this down to sort of three categories. On page one and two are sort of the environment budget area agencies, and then we have the ag budget area on page three, and then the economic development budget area on page three. For now, I'm just kind of breaking it out like that just so to line up kind of the way it was coming into this session. But as we move on, all these, and depending on how we put budget bills together and line up with the House and things, we'll have to maybe organize some of the agencies a little different. But we are all in the same budget division, and so I probably won't always separate things out into these categories all the time. But in the environment budget area, there are 10 agencies. We'll start with the Pollution Control Agency. In the current fiscal year, they spend about $351 million. As you'll see on line 5, most of that comes from the Environmental Fund. And on line 11, about another $50 million of clean water money in the current biennium flows through the PCA. You'll also notice on line 4, looking ahead to the next 2 years, there's a $12 million transfer due to the closed landfill cleanup fund. This is due to back in 2010, the state transferred $48 million out of a closed landfill fund to help with their budget deficit. And so it's being paid back over a period of 4 years, starting in fiscal year 15, and then for 3 years after that. $12.1 million a year is being transferred back into that fund. The $100,000 is for interest lost on that amount of money. So total spending by PCA is about current biennium is about $351 million. Looking ahead, it's about $313 million. That's without any clean water money. And you'll see their programs and functions. They're responsible for water, air, and land regulation and permitting, landfill cleanup and remediation. They do a lot of the assessing of public waters under the Clean Water Program, and also environmental assistance. And again, each agency, as we go through this whole session, will get a chance to come up here, especially when you get to the governor's budget and better explain their functions and programs within the budget. The next agency we have is the Department of Natural Resources. Their total spending in the current biennium is about $951 million. A lot of that is money that comes from the constitutional funds. So you'll see, looking ahead, their base budget going for the next biennium is about $617 million. Only about $146.8 million of that is from the general fund. And that does not include payment in lieu of taxes. That number is being carried over in the tax committee. So that's also, in different years, sometimes that's been carried over here. Right now that's being carried in the tax committee, the payment in lieu of taxes number.
Do we know how much that is?
Mr. Chairman, I think right now it's about $28 million per year.
Do we need more?
Mr. Chairman, and there is a report coming back on PILT that this committee might be interested in.
Yeah, I'm getting a real lot of reports, so there's a possibility we may have a couple of hearings on some of the more interesting ones. So I know the stack is about this high right now, and we'll have Ms. Doyle give us a little overview of what they look like later on. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And that has always been a contentious issue, you'll find, in this PILT thing. And that's why I think we asked for a study to be done, so it clarifies it a little bit more. So I'd be real interested in seeing what that report brings.
I agree.
And I've got it on my desk. It's about that high.
You keep it on your desk,
yeah.
Okay? All right. Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Chairman, the next couple funds, again, the Natural Resources Fund funds about $180 million for the biennium for the department. Now, within the Natural Resources Fund, there are 20 accounts ranging from the parks accounts. There's different accounts for all the different ATV trails, snowmobile trails, different water rec accounts. So there's even within all of these funds, there are a number of accounts that we have to keep track of and keep balance so they don't go into the red and look at their funding sources. So it even gets a little bit more complicated than just looking at the fund, the level of funding by fund. Within this, there's also many separate accounts that we have to keep track of. So line 18 is the Game and Fish Fund. There are 15 different accounts within the Game and Fish Fund, ranging from where all the hunting license fees goes into. That's the biggest account. There's also separate accounts for all the different hunting and fishing stamps that are purchased. So there are, like I said, there are a number of different accounts that we directly appropriate or we spend money out of. Again, the permanent school fund, I mentioned that before. That's just a small portion of the fund that goes to the DNR to help operate those lands. I'm not going to go line by line, but you'll see the DNR does receive a large amount of their resources from the Environment Natural Resources Trust Fund, the Parks and Trails Fund, the Outdoor Heritage Fund, and the Clean Water Fund. These are all constitutionally set up funds. Doesn't mean that the DNR is spending this amount of money. A lot of these are pass-through programs to local governments and other entities. But the DNR is the agency that all these monies have to go through a state agency, so they essentially oversee the funds. And then you'll see a little bit of federal money also goes through the department.
Senator Dietzick.
Mr. Chairman, my question is on the federal fund here. Do you know specifically why there's a big drop-off?
Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dietzick, I'd have to look in that more particular and maybe the department help us. I know some of these monies, federal dollars, are tailing off due to stimulus dollars that were appropriated out, and some of it may be tied to that and maybe just other reductions in federal funding.
You can find that out, though, for us?
I will do that.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the next agency we have is a portion of Met Council. The Met Council is a broader agency, and we fund one portion of that here, the Metro Parks Program. Again, you'll see there a large portion of the funding that flows through Metro Parks comes from the dedicated Parks and Trails account. They're getting about $52 million in the current biennium. Over almost $32 million of that is coming from the Parks and Trails account, the dedicated account. Otherwise, they do get some general fund dollars, about $5.7 million. And the money coming from the Natural Resources Fund, the $11 million, is actually from lottery in lieu money, which is basically money that instead of charging a sales tax on lottery sales, it goes into a separate account, and then we spread that money out to the parks and trails and zoos. So the so there's only about $17 million in the base budget for Met Council, but again, they'll receive a large portion of their money from the dedicated accounts. The Conservation Corps, it's a nonprofit that serves local governments and education nonprofits. They basically do a lot of the work with local governments, environmental work, do things with the DNR like prescribed burns and things like that. It's a training program tied with the AmeriCorps. They also have a summer youth program. So this is just the portion that the state gives them as part of their help with their operating costs. They do most of their work contracting with state and local governments.
And why is it zeroed out in the second year?
Mr. Chairman, the previous legislature decided to scale down their general fund dollars and have them be more operate on a fee-for-service basis.
Okay.
So their base budget for going into the next biennium from the general fund is zero, and they were receiving – they actually were at one time receiving more than the 612. It was closer to – it was closer to being equal with what their natural resources fund money was.
Okay.
On the next page, you'll see the Board and Water and Soil Resources. This is the state agency that oversees all the local state soil and water conservation districts and boards. They help with wetland oversight, and mostly it's an agency that has a lot of pass-through money of grants going to local governments for water cleanup programs. You'll see on line 48 and 49, a large amount of the dedicated funds goes through this agency. There's about $25 million in the next budget of general fund dollars that will go through this agency. So so out of the $154 million of current spending, about 37 of it is from – only about $37 million of it is from the general fund. The Bowser, as we'll call them around here, you'll hear that term, also received some of the funding from the flood-related bills and the disaster-related bills flows through Bowser. The legislative next agency, the Legislative Commission.
Is that the reason for the $37 million to the $25 million?
Mr. Chairman, yes, some of that is probably due to one-time costs for disaster and flood resistance. Also, some of it may be because usually with Bowser projects, we give them a little bit more time to finish up their projects. So some of that just be due to carry forwards and things like that. But probably most of it is due to extra general fund dollars they receive for flood or disasters. The next agency we have is the Legislative Commission on Minnesota Resources, or the LCCMR. The dollars listed here are just their operating dollars, the staffing costs for the commission. This is not all the money that they appropriate out. That's about $39 million per year that go off to different agencies. Next, we have the Minnesota Zoo. They receive a variety of state support through the general fund is about $10.8 million. The line 59, the special revenue fund. Now, this is one area where we use the special revenue fund to collect fees. These are actually the admission fees and other fees that are collected at the zoo. We actually run through the state budget system. So that's the, you know, $32 million in the next budget. And the zoo has also started to receive some of the money in the current biennium from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. They also, this is not the only state money that they get. Over in the bonding area, the Minnesota Zoo has received money there for some of their bigger projects. They also see they get a little bit of money from the Natural Resources Fund. This is from money from the lottery. Then we have
It's my understanding that this Saturday is Legislator Day at the zoo from 10 to 2, so if anybody's interested, you can go to the zoo from 10 to 2. That's all I'm going to say about that. Okay. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, the next agency is the Science Museum. They receive about $2.1 million of general fund dollars and also have received some Arts and Culture Heritage Fund. And then we have the last two agencies that are sort of in the environmental umbrella is the Commerce Department. The Commerce Department serves a broad array of services. They oversee financial institutions, market insurance and enforcement. They oversee the insurance area, telecommunications, energy, and weights and measures. The general fund amount of a little over $40 million per year, the way it works in commerce, they actually recover most of this money back through fees through when they do examine banks and other institution. So a lot of that $40 million comes back to the general fund in fees. The special revenue fund, again, is used largely here at Department of Commerce. This is another fund where they charge fees for a lot of their services and oversight. And then you'll see on line 77 is the federal amount, the federal dollars that flow through the Department of Commerce. And looking ahead for the next biennium, it's about $380 million. And like I said, most of that is for the low-income heating assistance program. And the last agency under the environment area is Public Utilities Commission. Again, this regulates the electricity, natural gas, and telephone industries. Almost all these costs, both in the general fund and the special revenue fund, are recovered through assessments on utilities. So basically, the money that is paid out by the general fund is collected back through fees in this area. So the public utility is sort of a self-sufficient agency. On to the next page are the three agencies in the agricultural budget area. Department of Ag, it's part of their base budget of $143 million. About $62 million of it is from the general fund. And right as of now, this does not include any money for ethanol payments. That program is finished. It's done paying off ethanol production sites. The agricultural fund pays about $50 million per year. Again, that's made up of a number of different, very specific accounts where it collects money for the oversight it does, like with food inspection, dairy inspection, things like that. And then you'll see they have some federal dollars that flow through the Department of Ag, and they also administer some of the clean water programs. Then next we have the Animal Health Board. This is the board that oversees the domestic livestock and other domestic animals in the state. A big issue they've been working on in the past that Senator Scoy is familiar with is the bovine TB issue and some other oversee the other potentially dangerous outbreaks of a animal disease in the state. And then the last agency in the ag area is the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute, which is AURI. They receive a little over $5 million of general fund, and they just do a lot of applied research and product assessment for new ag products in the state and work with other higher ed institutions on those issues. So that's it for the environment and ag area. And let Mr. Jensen go, or if you have any questions.
Any questions of Mr. Mueller? He's done a good job. Okay. Mr. Jensen.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mueller has explained the different funds already, so I won't touch on the kind of the left side of the page. But on the right side is the agents or the programs and functions of the different agencies, and we have DEED, or Employment and Economic Development, Business and Community Development, you've probably heard the terms, Minnesota Investment Fund and Capital Access, and the JobZ program is administered here, but the tax relief really comes from the tax committee. The numbers would be there. The trade office deals with exporting Minnesota products. Unemployment insurance, you probably know we have about 5.3 million people in Minnesota. 3 million people are in the workforce. And of those 3 million, about 200,000 are unemployed. That's how we get to an unemployment rate of about 6%. Workforce development, that's the training programs. Voc rehab and services for the blind. We're careful with that general fund appropriation because it earns almost $4 of federal money for each dollar spent. So Voc Rehab gets roughly $8 million a year, so it brings in $32 million of federal dollars. And that's what shows on line 118. It's in that number. Science and technology.
Mr. Jensen, what is the status of JobZ right now? Or do you know?
Mr. Chairman, they're still in effect, I think. And maybe it ends this year, or I think the payments, though, continue because it was like a 10- or 12-year program. to be eligible.
Knapp, you know, anything on that?
Mr. Chairman, I'd have to do a little more research to update you. Or when the department comes in, they'll know exactly what's happening.
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure exactly when. I know that there's an end date to it. I do know that there's a recent development in St. Cloud that they're talking about using this. So I'm assuming that it's still open today.
Right. Is there a report on that? Must be. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, on the deed website, they have posted updates of the Job Z program, so we can get that.
Okay.
The Science and Technology Authority, if you remember, that was approved in the 2010 session, so it has not really expanded. That $214,000 essentially is one person for the biennium, and they deal with innovation-based companies and individuals.
Who gets $214,000?
Mr. Chairman, that's over 2 years. Oh, okay. So that's the total cost, salary.
You want it?
Expenses and...
Do I have that appointment or anything? Mm-hmm.
office expenses, too, so it's... Explore Minnesota Tourism, that's to promote the travel and to and from Minnesota. It's a very large industry. There's somewhat about 250,000 people working in that industry in Minnesota. Chairman, at page
what,
four.
That special revenue fund is what?
Well, I think they collect money from people who participate in the loan programs, and the marketing efforts are paid to tourism, and they can spend that money. The other thing, they work extensively with other agencies like the Historical Society. If you go to the Mall of America or the airport, you'll see an ad for going to Fort Snelling, and they work with DNR and all of the statewide agencies to promote Minnesota.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, on page four, the Housing Finance Agency, the general fund there is a direct appropriation, and that's for affordable housing and to preserve rental housing for people. We have a homelessness program, and they also try to increase home ownership within the department. The Department of Labor and Industry, again, that was the Injured Workers Compensation Program, the OSHA. And we have money for labor standards and wage enforcement, construction code licensing. There's well over 100,000 licenses issued each year or for a two-year period in Minnesota, and there's about 52 licensing types. So it's a very large licensing operation, and then there's the apprenticeship program. Basically, that's in the trade areas. Workers' Comp Court of Appeals, that reviews the disputes from labor or workers' comp cases. And those disputes, if not resolved, go directly to the Supreme Court, not to the Court of Appeals. Bureau of Mediation Services works around the state to promote labor management, both public and private employers and unions. Mr. Chairman, we've touched on IRRRB board, and near the bottom there is the Public Facilities Authority. Over the years, they have helped finance about $2.3 billion of municipal assets. And they have a AAA bond rating on their revenue bonds.
And for those of you who don't know about the IRRRB, the money that is listed here is money that is a result of the production tax that is paid on these pellets that I showed you. And it's in lieu of property tax payment, so it stays locally. And the agency itself was first founded back in 1941 when and it actually was by a Republican governor, and when they were very concerned about the Iron Range running out of iron ore and wondering how they could figure out a way to diversify the economy, and the University of Minnesota discovered the taconite process, and so the mining industry has been thriving on the taconite process ever since, and it's the agency itself has been doing some really, really good things with the money in regards to diversifying the economy and helping the local units of government and school districts with the expenses that they have in keeping the places modernized. So we have a board that is made up of legislators and citizens, and we may have some legislation this year that may have that necessitates changing because of the fact that the what happened in the redistricting and who is in the district, the current law is not applicable, so we need to change it. And so I may be coming in here with something that that the commissioner has been recommending, and it's a little bit different way of doing it, but it's still going to be able to make the agency work the way it does now. So but I will explain that later. So the occupation tax is that is off the mining also, right? And goes to does it go to Kuching County? Is that where it goes?
Mr. Chairman, it goes about half to Carlton County and half to Kuching.
Okay.
Those counties are not in the taconite taxing district, but there are some impacts from the district on those counties, so they do get some money for environment cleanup.
I think the mining industry is the only industry that pays the occupation tax, right? Okay. All right. Anything else? Anybody want to have any questions of the analysts or want to know anything about what we're going to do in the future here? I think Ms. Doyle has. Why don't you show them the list of reports that we have coming in? Oh, Dan, you have something else?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was just going to – I did talk to with the PCA about the fines issue, and until we get some final numbers, it looks like it's about $2 million per year they collect in fines that go into the environmental fund, a little bit give or take on that. So out of the $130 million for the biennium, about $4 million of that would be from fines.
Mr. Chairman, your question earlier on the Jobs E program, I did look it up. It says it continues until December 31st, 2015, when the Jobs E program is scheduled to expire. So it is scheduled to expire December 31st of 2015.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And with regard to the Jobs E program, there really are not very many new applicants because of the declining number of years of effectiveness. It isn't very much benefit for them. So I don't even know that there are any new applicants now.
There's
so we're just working
Cloud.
Through the original.
There's one in St. Cloud?
Yeah.
There's one in St. Cloud.
Professor Plummer.
This reminds me of a story. There was a story on Minnesota Public Radio about bars on the Iron Range. And and the story went that there's always the same group of people who go into the same different bars, and they basically solve the world's problems every single day by chatting with each other, and there was always one know-it-all in the group that that knew everything that was going on and was the most boisterous and was always telling people what to do, and everybody in this group of people are always kind of afraid to challenge the guy, and they said the report went on to say that the whole bar atmosphere has now changed on the Iron Range, because when the know-it-all starts talking, everybody reaches for their iPhone and they Google it to find out if the guy's accurate or not. And so see, we have this instant access now at our tables here. So, so anyway, we're handing out just an example of what we're getting back and what some of the reports we're getting. And I'm going to have Ms. Doyle give you an idea of what it is, but what I'm thinking here is that there's probably a few of them that we need to review and take a look at in this committee. And what I would like you members of the committee to all do is, if you are interested in one in particular and you would like to have it reviewed, we can either do so in front of the committee, or you can get some special instruction from one of the staffers, who will be more than happy to meet you in your office if that's what you would like to do. But there's probably a couple here that we're going to want to have a public hearing on. So Ms. Doyle, just give us a little outline if you want to.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Yes, what's being handed out is something that was generated by the Legislative Reference Library. And it's reports that are due from not all of the 23 agencies, but the larger ones. I just had them run it for that. And these are reports that are due from January 1st of this year through June 30th. And some of them are just reports on obsolete rules, but other reports are one-time reports that have been perhaps requested last session or some annual reports. And it does provide the citation for the report, what year and what the statute is that requires the report. But just kind of going through from the DNR, I know there's one that most of these were due on the 15th, these reports of January. There's one on reporting on long-term funding of the state parks and recreation areas and trails. There's also one on invasive species of aquatic plants and animals. That was an annual report due. Let's see. Then there are some other ongoing reports. PCA has some SCORE program reports, air quality, citizen monitoring. Then for Department of Employment and Economic Development, there are three reports that are coming. I think a couple of them are already submitted and maybe waiting for one. And these are on the business development, Minnesota, the adult workforce development and youth workforce development, this competitive grant pilot program that was started a couple of years ago. Previous to the competitive grant process, they had the more of a pass-through to certain organizations, and now it was changed to competitive grants. So that might be interesting to have them talk about the success and how that's working for them. As I mentioned, not one of the reports we're still waiting for, I think.
And just refresh my memory, was the first year of the competitive grants in 2012? Would that be the first year?
I believe that was the first year. It was put in place in 2011 and then for the 2012. Yeah.
That's correct? Yeah. Okay. And so I'm already getting requests from people to eliminate the competitive grant because they want the line item back. And so we may have to have a discussion about that. And I'm assuming it's working good in some places and it's not working good in other places. And so we'll see what the reports have to say. So then
there were just a couple of other outlier reports that were either submitted earlier, maybe in December, or that are upcoming. And one that Deed did already publish is on this uniform program accountability measures. And that was kind of what was a report that was done prior, talks more about the pass-throughs instead of the competitive grant program. So you could look at those in conjunction with the competitive grant pilot program reports. And then the DNR has a Game and Fish Fund report that was published in December. And then there's also the PILT report that analyzes the current payment distribution system and I think has some recommended changes. Clean Water Council had a biennial report that came out in December. LCCMR also had a biennial report that talked about the past funding accomplishments and new recommendations. And then the legislative auditor will be having a report on conservation easements that they expect to be complete by February 2013.
Okay. So that's it for the first meeting, unless anybody else wants to add something.
Well, Mr. Chair, when you've got these read, maybe I'll come and talk to you.
I will be perusing them in the very near future here. Yes, okay. Senator Dibble.
And I'm sorry, I missed it. And we're going to have a full presentation on each of these?
If you would like. We can poll the committee. No, I think there's a couple we should probably have a presentation on, and I would urge committee members to, if they want to know something about them, just to contact the staff and find out what they're all about, or contact the agency and have them come over and give you a review. And if you feel it's important enough to have a hearing on in front of the whole committee, we can talk about that and maybe schedule something. Hopefully the rest of our hearings aren't as boring as this one, but you never know. And so, and it's no reflection on you guys. I'm sorry. you didn't have much to work with, and so, so numbers get pretty boring. But it's an indication of what this committee is dealing with and what we're going to have to make decisions on in the upcoming legislative session. So, if there's no other business, Senator Saxock.
And Mr. Chair, we could leave these, and you could pick them up, and then you can pass them out again next year.
No, I have extra ones, so please take them back to your office and read the captions so you understand what they are all about. And Senator Saxock, did I hear your son's band is playing somewhere in the Twin Cities also, or is it just on?
Well, they'll be playing at the first part of May.
Oh, that late.
It's a long time. I thought
there was something else going on in regards to the 10-year anniversary.
No? Yeah, that's all.
Okay, thank you all, and meeting adjourned.